Well, good morning. Glad that you are here and looking forward to worshiping the Lord Jesus with you all today. If you are a guest, if you're here in person, there is a card in the pew back in front of you. It's just a connect card. It's a way for us. We'd love to get to know you and just try to be a blessing to you and see how we might be able to serve you or your family. If you're online, or also if you're in person, you can do this as well. If you go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says I'm new, you can click that button. It's a short form. You can fill that out, and we get that information. And again, we just love to connect with you, see how we might be able to best serve you. And so thank you for being here. Hope that you feel at home and enjoy the time of worship as we try to honor the Lord Jesus and all that we say and do today and in the life of our church. And so in a few moments we'll stand and we'll sing together, and then I'll come back and preach the word and share with you what I believe God's laid on my heart. I do want to make you aware of a couple things that are happening. First of all, I'm excited. We resumed Sunday school this morning, and so it was a modified version, if you will, from nursery all the way up to our collegiate class. Young professionals, I don't know what all categories we want to put them in, but those classes are all the same. And then our adult, we have a few of our senior adult classes that are meeting through the week, and then we have one main adult class at this time, outside of Kelvin's young adult class, that's meeting in the fellowship hall, the other end of this, our facility. And just one class there, and so hope that you will make it a point to join and be a part of one of those classes and just enjoy that time of kind of reconnecting. And that's a great way to be able to share prayer requests, know what's going on in each other's lives, and pray and encourage one another. It's just a really unique, special time in those classes, so I hope that you'll join that. That begins at 9:30 on Sunday mornings, and so I hope you'll be a part of that. The other thing that is coming up is October 25th. So we have changed a little bit, kind of reworked our plan. Traditionally, we do a fall fest the night of Halloween and have our games in our halls filled and see 500 or 600 people come through in the course of that night. Well, obviously, we want to be smart. We want to be safe and try to engage our community. So what we're going to do the Sunday before Halloween, I believe is on the Saturday, that Sunday before, from 5 to 7, we are going to have a trunk or treat right here in the front of our building here. So we will shut down this street, we'll line our vehicles up, we're going to grill some hot dogs, we'll give away hot dogs and bottles of water. We'll have a few chairs kind of spaced out and able people to be able to sit. And so I hope that you'll make plans to be a part of that to help serve our community. And my challenge to you is this, is I believe we're, I don't know, I could be wrong in this, I believe we will serve more people coming through than we ever have before in any of our Fall Fest type events. There'll be a registration, all that kind of thing, but we're going to give away candy, and I think we're going to give away a lot of candy. And so we need you. Already a lot of you have done a great job in bringing candy. I've challenged every family to try to bring at least 5 large bags of candy. Maybe you can do more. Maybe you can only do a couple. And if you can only do a couple, that's great. That's fine, too. Every little bit helps. There's a box that is sitting out front here, and sometimes on Sunday mornings we may move it here, or it could be over by the in the entrance underneath the awning. But if you'll just begin to bring that by and slowly collect that, and you may need to do a little bit each week or whatever the case may be. And so if you want to be a part in helping that and you haven't volunteered or been contacted by anyone yet, please let us know. We need all the help we can get to help be a part of that. So looking forward to that. All right. Well, let me pray and ask the Lord to be with our service this morning. And then Brother Alroy is going to come and lead us as we worship the Lord. And so, God, we love you and praise you. We thank you for all things. And I pray, God, that, God, you be honored. Thank you for those guests that are here. I pray you'd bless them and minister to them, make your face shine upon them. Lord, I pray that all that we say and do would point to you, Lord Jesus, that, God, that you, Holy Spirit, would move and fill this place, that, God, we would meet with you. Lord, I pray that God, we would be careful to give you the glory and the honor that you are due. Thank you for allowing us to return to some normal activities and help us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And we love and praise you. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You stand as we sing. And remember, this morning, we're not singing about God. We're singing to God. Make all these things personal as we sing and honor our Savior this morning. We're here singing our God.
Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God.
Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. This morning, we are, I think, Lord willing, we will finish the series through this book of Philippians and talking about joy. And I hope that it has been an encouragement to you, a challenge to you. It has been to me. While you're turning, let me share with you, yesterday was our one-day serve local. And so we had several different activities going on throughout the day. One of the things we had going on, we had several people praying, and some of you were praying faithfully, consistently throughout the day, different things, time and place happening, and I want you to know we are so grateful for your prayers, and thank God for you and your faithfulness in that, and I believe the Lord heard your prayers, and God worked in an incredible way. First, we began with yard cleanup, yard work, and car washes. And so that took place between 12 and 2 yesterday. We were able to clean up some yards nearby. And let me just tell you one story that happened. There was a house nearby that we had tried to make contact with and couldn't first make contact. And so we went up and I drove the lawnmower up to her driveway so that she maybe would take a little bit of the concern out. And we had a few people around with weed eaters and that kind of thing. We were working close to her house and knocked on the door, and she came out and said, "Hey, just want you to know that we are from Second Baptist. We're in the community, and we'd love to mow your yard, clean your yard up a little bit, pick some sticks up, that kind of thing. If you'd let us, it's all for free." And she was speechless. She goes, "Oh my gracious, thank you so much." And then she went on, and this is what she said. She said that she had just got paid. She said, "Money has been tight. I just got paid yesterday," which was Friday. And she said, I paid all my bills. She said, "I looked and I had just enough money left for gas." And then she said, "I come home and I look at my yard and think, I don't have enough money to clean my yard up, to get somebody to mow it." She's single. She lives by herself and just not able to do it herself. And the Lord sent us the next day to clean her yard up. And so we were able to visit with her, encourage her. And so it was just a really neat testimony of that. We had our college students and several others helping and doing car washes up on the BCM property next to Whataburger. And so that was really neat. That was a lot of fun. And then Daniel Breedlove volunteered his photography skills, and we had some people come help him and set up a picture opportunity behind the church here. We had a couple families come by, get their pictures taken, and get a chance to follow up with them and be an encouragement to them. And then we finished the night with a movie over on the campus of Arkansas Tech. And quite honestly, when we first thought and believed that's what we wanted to do, both Jonathan and I were sure that it was not going to happen on campus, that we thought we were going to have a movie in our parking lot. But for whatever reason, the Lord opened up the door of opportunity, and we were able to go. And so we showed the movie called Woodlawn. It is several years old, but we thought it'd be a great opportunity to show that film. And we had about 20 college students come and attend that. And I realize some may say, "Well, that's not very many," but in the current situation, all that has happened, the campus life gave us permission, said, "Hey, you can do it, but we don't have a very good turnout of these." They said one of the ones they did last year, they had one student show up, so we had 20 times the number of students that they had, okay? So that's a win. So we did that. We had a family that donated gave $300 and bought a TV to give away, and honestly, that's why some of the college students were there last night. I know that surprises you, but at the end, I was able to get a chance to share the gospel to that group there, and we had three students that indicated that they prayed to receive Christ. Amen? Amen, absolutely. And so just rejoicing in that, and thank you for all that served, that prayed, that gave. Just an incredible opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus, and just grateful for that. Well, this morning I am going to be preaching this last section of Philippians, and I'm preaching a message on this generosity and contentment. Recently, the Ronnie Tullis Ministry was doing one of their big annual fundraisers. They're completely a faith-based ministry, so they're completely dependent on churches like ours and church members like ours that give to support them. And so they were doing this annual fundraising, and somebody came to Brother Ronnie and said, "Hey, I tell you what," and many of you listen to K-Love probably, so you hear this kind of thing, but somebody said, "Hey, Brother Ronnie, I'll give you $5,000 if you can put it out there as a challenge, that it may challenge other people to give." And sure enough, so he put it out there. And then he called me and told me and said, not very long after I put it out there, I had two families call me And each of them gave enough to cover the $5,000 challenge, so it turned into $10,000. And so just rejoicing with him with that, and I was sharing that with our staff, and a couple comments are made, go, man, that's awesome. Wouldn't we be awesome to be able to do that, just to be able to bless folks like that and give and that kind of thing. And man, we talked about that, and I agreed with them. And now here's what I want to do, and I don't know where you're at in life and ministry, but I don't know if you are in just, man, is your spiritual maturity, all that kind of thing, but if you think about sometimes, I don't know about you, but I see, man, God use people financially in ways that go, man, that's awesome. I'm glad that they're able to do that, and sometimes, if I'm honest with you, I go, man, I wish I could do that. And I don't know if you're ever that way of thinking, man, I just wish I had more so I could give away or be able to support that or give to that. And here's the thing. I'm not here to tell you how you can be able to just give away $5,000 next week. Although if you can, I will tell you the address, okay? 1100 North Frankfort. No, I'm just kidding. But here's the thing, okay? I do believe that we... Most of us probably, now I realize there are some incredible saints in the room that God has blessed you, and man, you're faithfully serving the Lord, and you're doing incredibly well with your finances, and you give generously. But I really do believe that most of us in the room could probably do more with what God entrusts to us, has given us, if we just lean into what the Word of God says, and we try to grab a hold of some truth that is here. And I believe your generosity begins at the same, we all have the same starting place, and it begins with contentment. And we're going to look how this contentment and generosity go together. And so Philippians chapter 4, we're going to begin in verse 10. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10. If you find your place, will you stand with me in the honor of reading of God's Word? But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at your last care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma and an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. God, I pray you bless the preaching of your word. Hide me behind your cross. Fill me with your spirit. I pray you be glorified. God, challenge us through your word. I pray for those that may not know Christ, God, that they would be saved. Those that are far from you, Lord Jesus, that you'd restore them and the saints of God would be encouraged. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. As I was preparing this message, I was reminded of a quote from a movie. I don't know how many of you, and I don't want to all miscommunicate. I don't want to endorse this movie, but I was reminded of a movie. Several of you probably have seen the movie Forrest Gump. And I'm reminded of this scene where Forrest Gump, he's sitting on the bench with the older man, and he's telling the story, right, of all that has taken place over the course of his life. And he starts early in his childhood, those of you that haven't needed it, haven't seen it, Forrest Gump, Tom Hanks is a character, and he is this young boy that has some learning disabilities and some physical disabilities early in life, and he overcomes those things. But early on, he gets on this bus, and he's got these braces on his legs to help his back, help his posture. And he's getting on the bus, and nobody wants him to sit next to him. And so everybody's scooting over, all that kind of thing. And then there's one little girl that is on there. The character's name is Jenny. And so Jenny says, "You can sit here." You know, this super Southern drawl. So he sits down. So it's talking about this friendship that takes place. And so then he starts talking about how they became best friends. And here's the quote. He says, "Jenny and me were like peas and carrots." And so, I'm sorry, that's as good as it gets, all right? It's my best effort. And so as I was preparing this message and looking at it, and I'm reading this, and I know some of you are thinking, what is wrong with our pastor? All I can hear is, generosity and content go together like peas and carrots. And so it's this togetherness that goes, all right? I don't think I'll live that one down. But here we are, all right? It's out there, all right? So this generous contentment that God has for us from the text. And so I want to focus in on this, this idea. By the way, and I want you to, it's not a part of your notes, but the church and the individual that God uses to teach us most about generosity, do not miss this. The individual is the poorest person in the Bible. The widow who gives two mites says that she gave all. And the church at Philippi, many experts and historians said it's the poorest church in all the Bible. So I want you to understand something. As I talk about this morning, I know there's this stigma about preaching and preachers and preaching on giving and all that kind of thing. And I'm just preaching through the text, and that's part of the reason why I do that. But I want you to understand something, is that as I talk about this morning, I love the picture that the Bible gives us of this teaching on generosity is from the poorest woman in the Bible. And then this morning, we're learning from the poorest church in the Bible. And Johnny Hunt has this incredible quote on generosity, and I'll refer to it probably more than once this morning, and it's this: you don't have to be rich to be generous, you have to be generous to be generous. You don't have to be rich to be generous, you have to be generous to be generous. And I think we're going to see that play out in our text this morning. So with that, let's jump into the scripture. The main idea of the text is this, is that God desires contentment that gives way to generosity. So we're going to talk about how I find this contentment with what God has given me and what I have and all that kind of thing. And then I'll learn as a result of that, then how I might be able to be generous. And so the idea of the question of the text is this, is how content are you? How content are you? Because I would imagine most of us would affirm or would say, yeah, we've got to be content. I've got to be content with what I have. And sure, at some level, in some point, we probably are content. Because we're not filing bankruptcy every week. And so we get satisfied, well, this is a new enough vehicle, or this is a nice enough thing. But I wonder just really how content we are with what we have and what God has given to us. And so there's two, we're going to hang our hat on contentment and generosity and see the truths under those two big ideas. And so number one, joy is expressed in contentment. Remember, the theme of this book of Philippians is joy, and this expression of joy that we see in chapter 4, and I believe it's no coincidence that in the midst of that, Paul ends his letter, and he is bragging on the generosity of the church of Philippi. He is rejoicing with them, but even in himself, he is teaching about his own contentment. And Paul is in prison. He is serving. He is faithfully being obedient to the gospel of Jesus. And he's writing and he's encouraging this church. Why? Because Paul has found joy, and he has found joy in his contentment. And so how did he find this? What do we need to know about contentment that Paul teaches us from the text? A, contentment defines our need. To the degree in which we are content, that defines our need. I want you to see here from the scripture. Look at verse 11. It says that, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. And so we see that he says, I'm not talking about, he's writing about the gift and their opportunity, and we're going to come back to verse 10 and see that, but he is telling them about this gift and how God is using it, but he's saying, I'm not talking about need. I've learned how to be content with right where I'm at. And so here's a thought for you to write down. Needs are reduced when contentment rises. Needs are reduced when contentment rises. What I mean by that is I get to a place where I'm satisfied with what God has for me and what God has given me and all that God has entrusted to me, then I'm not beginning to define my needs by what I want. And I think that's oftentimes where we get in trouble. It's where we struggle to be generous. We struggle to find contentment because somehow we've developed this idea of entitlement. And so we define our needs by our neighbors, by our culture, by our community. We define it by all sorts of things rather than understanding what the Word of God teaches us about our needs and being content with what Christ has for us. And so as you get to a place and getting to a place where you can be satisfied with what God has for you and Him meeting those needs, then all of a sudden the needs list that we define gets shorter. And there's less on that list. And so contentment defines our needs. Timothy 6:6, now godliness with contentment, that is pursuing Christ and becoming content, is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. That's the phrase that you hear, that you see, that you don't ever see the U-Haul behind the hearse. Every funeral I've ever been to is only big enough for the casket or the urn. They don't bury their stuff with them. They can't take it anywhere with them. And I know that sounds really morbid and it sounds really hard, but it's the reality, folks, that you and I, that the needs, honestly, for most of us are really short, but somehow we've expanded that list to make it a lot larger than what it really is. And because of that, we lack contentment. And because we're not content, our list is longer. And because our list is longer, our opportunity for generosity is shorter. It's smaller. And so the reality I'm trying to express this morning is that you and I, the struggle in our generosity, really the root of it, we look and go, man, I'm not able to give to this, or I'm not able to give that. That's a symptom of the issue. That's not the issue. The issue is, in our heart, it's contentment. How content am I? And so contentment defines our need, but then B, contentment delivers commitment. It delivers a sense of commitment. So look at verse 12. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. He's comparing two ideas. He's comparing poverty and rich, having nothing and having a lot. He goes on. He says, everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul's saying my level of contentment is not based on my circumstances. My level of contentment is based in Christ. And because Christ never changes, the Lord never changes, then that doesn't waver. And so my needs are the same because God defines my needs and God meets those. And what Paul is saying is sometimes there's an abundance and I rejoice in that. And sometimes there's a lack and I find a way I rejoice in that as well. And I know that's not popular. That's not easy. That's not the American dream. There's a sense of commitment that is defined that I'm going to be content for the longevity, for the long haul. Contentment enables us to live in poverty and in wealth. Contentment enables us to do both. When I'm content in Christ and what God has for me, then it doesn't matter if God has called me to Russellville, Arkansas, or if God calls us to the sub-Saharan part of Africa, where we've got a hut. We're looking for food every day. So my contentment is in Christ. And here's an idea that we struggle to understand as an American people, is that God may really want us to do without some things. I know that's hard. Because we work hard and we play hard, right? And we see our neighbor that has the latest and greatest, and our buddy has the upgrade, has the 2022 model that hasn't even come out, and all those kinds of things. And we convince ourselves that God really does love me, and He does. And God wouldn't want me to be without. Oh no, we may not phrase it that way, but oftentimes that's how we live. Hey, let me be clear this morning. Lord's dealing with my heart the same as He is yours. This isn't one of those amen times, it's an oh me. Because coming to the reality that you and I, God may really want us to put aside our desires. We may really have the money or the ability to go do X, Y, or Z. But it's going to rob us of an opportunity to be generous somewhere else. And if it does, then where does the contentment stop? Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Be without covetousness, without desiring something else that somebody else has. And be content with what things you have. We got to be satisfied in what God has given us and be satisfied, honestly, just in God. One of the phrases that I've stolen from Brother Ronnie over the years is, you know, he says often, you'll never have enough until God is enough. When God becomes enough in your life, you'll always have enough. See, contentment demands God's power. Contentment demands God's power. Look at verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, here's what's fascinating to me about this verse, and I shared this with Pastor Jonathan this week, is that this is the verse that you see written on the cheerleader's cheek or the football player, or you know, it's some wristband somewhere, or it's a banner held up at a football game, or it's somewhere at a basketball game, or it's hanging over a locker room door or something like that. And it's usually, the way that we see it used, it is usually in the context of me achieving something. That I'm going to get the win, and through I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which quite honestly has never set well with me, because I think, does that mean there's no other Christians on the other team? And if there are Christians on the other team and they're using the verse the same way, then what? Is it going to be a tie? And we know that's not real life. There's no such things as ties, right? But I want you to see this and hear this. Remember, this is in the context of Paul talking about his contentment. He is in prison. He is penning this letter to this church, a poor church who has been overly generous to him and is blessed, and God has used that. And he's writing saying, hey, I've learned how to abound when things are good and when things are not so good. I've learned how to do well when I've got a full belly and when the belly is empty. And he says, in that, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I want to submit to you the very way that you and I see I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And honestly, sometimes how we use it is the exact opposite of its context and its meaning. Rather, it's the opposite of me being able to achieve something. It's rather saying I'm trusting in Christ and He can do and give for me whatever it is, but I'm content with Christ. And listen, in that, God will give you strength. When you are content, the power of God works in and through your life, and that's where people stand back and see your generosity, see the way God uses you and go, man, I wish I could do that, because it's not you, it's the power of God in you. And the power of God is released, is used in your life when you find great contentment. The flip side of that is this: discontentment robs Jesus of His power to work in your life. Because you are going against the will and the plan of God. That doesn't mean that He can't. And He absolutely does. He overcomes our disobedience. But I would submit that God wants to work in greater ways in your life. That, to be honest with you, that our discontentment restricts what He wants to do. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And in this last phrase, for without me, you can do nothing. If you're going to find great contentment, it's going to be through the power of Christ. So, number one, joy is expressed in contentment. Number two, joy is expressed in generosity. So I think contentment is the key. If you and I are going to live generously, and by the way, I'm going to talk about generosity, and I realize when I say generosity, most people are going to hear money. And now let me be really clear. What Paul is talking about in this context is financially. But it wasn't just financially, because the church of Philippi also sent people to help him. So it's their service, it's their prayer, it's the all-encompassing of their generosity. But it did not limit the financial aspect. There's a money side to this, and I know that makes everybody really uncomfortable when we talk about money in church, but it's a reality, it's part of the Scripture. And so we talk about generosity. Some of you say, man, I'm giving financially all I could. I'm content in the Lord Jesus. I'm giving however it may be. But I just challenge you to think about, okay, think about your time. Think about the talents that you have. And I know Daniel may fuss at me later, but I just think about Daniel yesterday and his talent to take photography, to take pictures. And this yesterday, he was able to bless a few families and take their pictures because he has that talent and he's giving it back to the Lord to use for His glory. And so we're going to talk about generosity. So A, generosity recognizes an opportunity. Recognizes an opportunity. Look at verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Look, for though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. But then skip on down to verse 14. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared, if you mark or underline your Bible, mark or underline that, shared in my distress. So there clearly was some other times in Paul's life and ministry where there were some needs that the church at Philippi wasn't able to come alongside and meet. And clearly God still met the need and ministered to Paul, and that's where he's probably talking about. At times there was abundance and times there was lacking, but God gave him strength through that. But the generosity recognizes an opportunity. He says in verse 11, that or verse 10 rather, that there was an opportunity and they cared about it. Or they cared, but there wasn't a chance for them to be able to meet that need. But then in verse 14, he seems to indicate that we know throughout the book that they gave and they met that need. And so here's the idea, is that generosity happens when care meets opportunity. He says, you care, but you liked opportunity. Then verse 14, you shared in my distress. You helped meet this need. They cared, then they got an opportunity, and that's when generosity took place. And then the other thing we learn from verse 14 is generosity begins with sympathizing with a need. You shared. And the idea there, that word, is you sympathize with my need. You had concern. You felt the need. You felt the pain, the anguish, the joy, the opportunity. And you've experienced this. You've all been to a banquet or some presentation or something, and you see a story about an orphan doing without, or the homeless in our community doing without, or whatever the case may be. And God, you sympathize with that. God tugs at your heart. You find sympathy with that, and then you help meet that need. You give. You're generous toward that. And that's what Paul talking about here, is that the church saw a need for the gospel to be advanced, for the work to continue, for other places to be reached the way that somebody had given so that Paul could be there at Philippi to begin that church. And there was an opportunity and they gave. 1 Timothy 6:18, let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give and willing to share. So whenever I'm content, then when God tugs at my heart, when God leads me, when I see this opportunity and there's this sympathizing with that need, then I'm able to give. I'm able to be generous because I'm not worried about holding on so that I can go get X or I might want Y. But rather, God has given me this. He is meeting my needs, and we're going to see that in a moment. And then I'm able to give in this opportunity. So generosity recognizes an opportunity. B, generosity requires longevity. It requires longevity. Look at verse 15. Now you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, he's talking about the church there, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So he's saying, look, the church Philippi, whenever I left your country there, left your home, nobody was helping me do this except for you. He was the only partner. Well, that's what we would call him now, of trying to raise funds and support. They were the only partners for Paul. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. So it seems to be this longevity, this partnership that they took with Paul, that the gospel may go forth. And what I believe is happening, and they are setting up a pattern for generosity in the life of their body of believers. And the only way that happens is because the believers were coming together and displaying and being generous themselves. So continued generosity sustained the work. Paul was able to continue to go and do the missionary work. And by the way, you and I are likely here. There's a church on this continent that derives from the work and the apostles, and likely the work of Paul going out. And some of these churches, like, we tie back most likely to some of these churches that we're reading about and some of this ministry that's happening. And this long thread of church planting and going into places where there were no believers and sharing the gospel. And so it was a long-term investment. It was a continued investment. Generosity out of contentment keeps our eyes focused on eternal rewards. I want you to see this, and I don't have this on the slide, I don't think, or on our presentation, but verse 17 and 18, or excuse me, 17 and 20. Listen to what Paul says. He says, you've given this out from my necessities. Verse 17, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. So Paul's saying, I'm not just writing this so that you give money, but rather I want to see fruit to your account, because when you give to the work and the mission of advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ, to meeting needs in our community, to providing for the widows and the orphans, then God takes that and He rewards that. And then notice verse 20. He says, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul's saying, look, I'm praying that you're generous because I want fruit to your account. But even beyond that, I want the name of Jesus to be glorified. The young family who gave the TV, and I realize to some, go, man, that, you may see that as a waste of money, or you may see that as a wasted opportunity. But they gave, we were able to see college students, and three of them said yes to Jesus. I imagine one day in heaven that they will go, hey, I'm really glad somebody from Second Baptist Church gave a $300 TV, because that's why I was there that night, but I came for a TV, but I left with Christ. And so there's a sense of way that you and I, we've got to be content, but then the way that, our generosity will see the next level is we've got to see the eternal reward. That there will be fruit that is laid to our account as we give unto the Lord Jesus. But then even greater and more importantly, God will be glorified. And I understand, listen, that giving some bags of candy seems kind of crazy. But what happens if a family comes and we see a young man or a young girl give their life to Christ, and we're able to minister to that family, and that family comes to Christ, and then their cousins, their family, and man, you never know what may happen. All about generosity. 2 Corinthians 11, 8 and 9. I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was, this is what Paul's writing to the Corinthians. He's saying that people gave so that he's able to work with them. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, look, the brethren, he's pointing back to churches that supported him who came from Macedonia, and there's the church of Philippi, supplied. In everything, I kept myself from being a burdensome to you, and so I will keep myself. So Paul said, I ministered to the church at Corinth, because the church at Philippi gave. Generosity requires longevity. I know. Hey, be honest with you, we may do a fall fest. We may do another one day. Or we you know, some of these things that we do and sometimes go, man, we didn't see much. Maybe didn't see anything that day. It's going to take longevity. It's going to take the long haul of investing our community, investing in the kingdom, honoring Christ in all that we say and do for God's glory. Then C, generosity releases God's provisions. Generosity releases God's provisions. Look at verse 19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now I need you to mark or underline need. Okay? This is not the verse to claim your Cadillac or your new motorcycle or your 20-foot Ranger boat. Says need. I really believe this with all my heart, that as you find contentment in Christ and what God has for you, and you're faithful in being generosity as you have opportunity, and by the way, you have opportunity, then I firmly believe with all my heart that God meets our needs faithfully. Faithfully. And again, he defines the need. You don't. I don't. He defines my need. But the way that God works and God provides, we see that in those that are most generous and most faithful. Think about the widow and her son when the prophet Elijah came to seer. Didn't have anything. But the prophet showed up and said, hey, God said if you'll prepare this and provide this meal, he's going to provide for you. And man, sure enough, he did. She was faithful, gave her last to serve this prophet, this man of God. then the scripture tells us that her cabinet was full. It wasn't empty. Because God provides. Psalm 37:25, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Generosity releases God's provisions. So, what do you do with this morning? First, I think you've got to deal with contentment. Are you content with Christ? Are you content with what God has for you? Are you content with right where you are and what the Lord is doing in your life? Until you are, you're going to battle with generosity. So I would challenge you to make a commitment, ask the Lord to give you grace, to give you strength, to be content with what God has for you. And then secondly, as you're more content, as you're just satisfied in Christ, can you take a step of generosity? Can you up your generosity? And wherever and whatever it is the Lord has called you to be generous in. I believe as a church member, there's a call to be generous through the local church. I'll be honest with you, I know it sounds self-serving. I believe giving through the local church makes the most kingdom impact. I really believe that with all my heart. And so can you increase? Can you give more? Can you up a percentage point or 2 points in your giving? We'll have Lottie Moon coming up soon. Can you give more during that time than you ever have before? How is it that you can be more generous? And you maybe say, Pastor, I'm on a fixed income. God is meeting my needs and I'm giving everything that I can. How, man, praise God. Thank you. I mean that sincerely. I want to ask you, how can you give of your time and your talents? How can you use that to serve the Lord? And then lastly, you'll never be content until you've surrendered your heart and life to Jesus. And there's never been a greater display of generosity than John 3:16 when God gave His Son for you. And so this morning you may say, Pastor, I'm not content in anything in my life. Everything's up in shambles. I'm struggling to make it to tomorrow or whatever it is. Maybe today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you go, man, I need Christ. I need this salvation. I need Jesus in my life. Here in a moment, you're going to have an opportunity to repent, turn from your sin, and place your faith and trust in Christ by simply praying, God, would you forgive me? Would you be the boss and master of my life? God, would you save me? And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God gave His Son for you, that you might be saved. Won't you trust Him today? Won't you come to Christ today? Let's pray. God, I thank You for Your love and affection. I thank You for all that You are and all that You do. I thank You for sending Your Son Jesus. And God, I pray in this moment, God, for those that are struggling and saying, I need Jesus. I need to be saved this morning. God, I pray that in this moment right now, that Spirit of God, You would tug on their heart. You would draw them to Yourself. Give them grace to call out on You. And if that's you this morning, would you pray right where you're at? Say, God, would You forgive me? Pray something like this. God, forgive me of my sins. be the boss of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. Come to my life. Be my boss. And be my Savior. I pray in Jesus' name. With head bowed and eyes closed and nobody else looking around. If you prayed this morning, say, Pastor, I prayed and asked God to save me right then. I meant it with all my heart and I'm not ashamed. Would you just slip your hand up in the air? Say, Brother Chris, I prayed and meant that with all my heart this morning. Amen. Anybody else? As you remain in an attitude of prayer, I want you to know this altar, this front is open to you. If you would like to come and pray, you're welcome to do that. Maybe God dealt with your heart about contentment or generosity, and you just want to come and take a moment and kneel, or maybe you've got some family or friends you want to come kneel and pray for. You're welcome to do that. You can pray from your seat. That is just fine. But we're going to have a moment, just a time of invitation for you to come. I'll pray, and then we'll spend a few moments and allow you to come and pray if you would like to do that. God, I thank you for this moment. I thank you for your word, and I pray that we'd respond in obedience to you, God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that God, as people come and deal with however you've spoken to their heart and life, God, you would hear their prayer. You'd minister to them, I pray, in Jesus' name. You just remain in attitude of prayer. You pray for those around you. Pray for those that may be struggling. God, I thank you for your love and affection. I pray we would honor you, spirit and in truth. God, give us grace to sing unto your name and you be glorified. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, let's stand, and we're doing this just singing out of response. We're going to worship the Lord. We've got a couple more songs we're going to sing. And as you sing, I just want you to be mindful of the generosity of God toward us in giving His Son, His grace, His mercy, all that He does.
What a gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Forsaken, for by my side the Savior He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hope, my Shepherd will I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released. I can sing, I am free. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Breath, I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hope, my now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
There it goes. Praise the Lord. Thank God for Him washing our sin white as snow. Amen. Well, as we dismiss, I'm going to pray in just a moment. Our ushers can get ready. We will dismiss. We are going to have a chance to give as we go. You can give by envelope. There will be plates at the back door. You get a chance to do that. Also, you can go online. And let me just encourage you, one way that you increase your faithfulness to give is maybe through the e-check offering. You can do that online. You can set up the e-check, and it's the cheapest in terms of a finance fee. It's like 30 cents every time you give, so very little in terms of that. But you can set that up recurring as often as you get paid or however you want to give. That's not our only option. We still check and envelopes, all that kind of thing, but that is a option, okay? So we're going to pray and ask God to bless our tithes and giving and offerings as we dismiss in just a moment. No Sunday night service this week, but next week we will plan to meet at 5, and we are going to begin a few weeks of pray and go, and just be an opportunity to get out, and we're going to try to pray over our community for the next several weeks. That'll be on Sunday night at 5 o'clock. So if you want to come be with us, we'd love to have you. We will spend an hour from 5 to 6 getting out in our community and praying and that kind of thing. If you're a guest, thank you so much for being here. I'd love to meet you and just see how our church family may be able to serve you. Let me pray and we'll dismiss, okay? God, you are gracious and kind and merciful. We thank you for your love and affection. And I pray, God, that all that we say and do would bring honor and glory to your name. I pray that as we give, increase our generosity, Lord Jesus, that we'd be content in what you have for us. You would take these tithes and offerings, and God, I pray that fruit would abound to their account. And Lord, we love and praise you. We pray that in all things you'd be glorified. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. Have a great week.